Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Welcome to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples. Hello and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Speak Up on this wonderfully autumnal Thursday morning here at 10 a.m. I'm going to be your host today. I'm Rebecca, the public affairs intern here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And I'm going to be giving you guys sort of the up-to-date campaign highlights for the upcoming provincial election here in BC. I spoke a bit about it last week on Speak Up, and I'm going to be speaking about it a bit more, and maybe next week as well. Today, I wanted to speak to you about the recent televised debate that took place this week, actually, on Tuesday evening. And it was going to be the only televised debate for the provincial election that is happening on October 19th. And as well as that, I also have some content that has been created by our journalist here at the station, Danny, and our public affairs work study, Yaigo. So, yeah, should be in for a bit of a mix, but an interesting show today. To start off with, though, I want to play some local music for you all. I found this sort of synth pop, indie pop song that's from a Vancouver artist called Carson Hoy, and it's called Night Drive off of the album Enigmatic. And welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM this Thursday morning. Now, just a little correction, that song actually was not Night Jive. That song was Keep Catching You by the artist Yaris Paris off of their album Possibly Forever, and it was a Vancouver-based artist, some electronic dance pop to start off the day. Now, to start the discussion sort of into the debate and the upcoming provincial election, I just want to remind everyone of the key dates for the election, since we have just passed the registration deadline that was on October 7th. So the final day to vote in this election is October 19th, which is next Saturday. And advance voting is taking place from today until the 13th of October, and then again from October 15th to October 16th. And you can request a vote by mail package online or via your phone until October 13th. And then after that, you will have to request a vote by mail package at any district electoral office up until the final voting day on October 19th. But you can also just vote in person at any district electoral office from now until October 19th. And we are now going to listen to a BC NDP panel segment that our journalist Danny attended and took some sound bites from for us all. So this is from the New Democratic Party.
Svetarani, your community radio journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. The BC NDP recently held an event panel at the Simon Fraser University Burnaby campus on October 7th, 2024. The panel event was originally slated to include the NDP MLA candidate for Burnaby East, Rhea Arora, the NDP MLA candidate for Burnaby Edmonds, Raj Chuhan, and the NDP MLA candidate for Vancouver, Colchina, Callista Ryan. However, due to last-minute scheduling conflicts, neither Raj or Callista were able to attend the event, leaving Rhea as the only NDP MLA candidate present for the panel. At the event, Rhea was able to explain her policy goals for the Burnaby East riding. After the event, attendees were also able to ask questions to the MLA candidate and voice their concerns on key issues that have been the focus of this election cycle. This panel event comes a few days after the NDP unveiled their official party platform, which notably included a $1,000 tax break aimed at middle-class BC families, free public transit for seniors during certain hours, as well as several commitments to healthcare coverage, housing, and construction. CJSF was able to attend this event and recorded the response to key questions that were asked during the panel event. One of these being in response to a question regarding the BC NDP's planned policies for housing in the province.
I think that's the responsibility of government, is to step in where there are gaps and to ensure no one falls between the cracks. Because first of all, I believe housing is a human right. And I think all of the work that I do stems from that. In SFU specifically, we announced 1,300 units to be built of student housing. I think 863 have been built so far, and they're still working on it. This makes a big difference in terms of having available spots. But the BC NDP has a big housing action plan where they're building 300,000 units. It's over 10 years, but that is a lot of units in BC. I was looking at what John Rustad and the BC Liberals had done, and I think in like 1 year or over 4 years, they had built only 4,000 spaces, and they thought that was like a pat on the back or something. That is just wild. And I think also, like, some of the other pieces that are really important is that targeting speculators has meant that we got 20,000 units back onto long-term, for the long-term rental market. That also means that we've lowered rental rates by 6%. There's no other province that's done that. Is it enough? No. And no one's saying that it is. But for me, when I think about my vision, we need to have purpose-built rentals. And in the platform, we announced that purpose-built rentals would be pet-friendly. I'm a guinea piggy mom, and I mean, they're in a cage, and I have struggled to find places that would be willing to accept them, let alone cats and dogs. And that even limits people further in a housing crisis. And I think that, you know, pets also really support mental health, so housing should be for you and your pets, not just, you know, not just the human.
Later on in the panel, Rhea Arora went over the NDP's planned $1,000 tax cut for middle-class families.
Yeah, absolutely. So the $1,000 tax cut would be immediate, and it would be it can be per household or $500 per individual. There's also a renter's rebate that we got in the last year that people can also access again in their 2023 taxes when they do it, right? And so if you have a roommate, you can both apply for that tax credit. And it's $400. I mean, it's something that's back in your pocket that's really important.
Afterwards, Rhea leveled some critiques towards the Conservative Party and the leadership of John Rustad.
What's really stressful, I think, is that there is this, like, very clear out-of-touchness with the leader. He doesn't believe in climate change, which is just wild. He coined this phrase called VAIDS. I don't know if folks know what that is, but it's vaccine-caused AIDS. It is just bizarre. And so when you have this type of out-of-touchness, not just in the candidates, because some of them are also out-of-touch, but the leader, he thinks that the housing plan that we've brought forward, that's building 300,000 units, he said he would scrap it. That is just makes no sense. I have no understanding of what the plan would be. He also said that he would cut $4.1 billion from healthcare. People don't have access to doctors, they don't have access to nurses already, and we've been doing a lot of good work to make that happen. We hired 800 new doctors, opened up 128 spaces at UBC's medical school. We're building a new medical school, which will be taking students by 2026 in Surrey. We've been supporting nurses. So we have 6,300 new nurses hired just in the last year. And many of them are either foreign or out of state or out of province trained. And so part of that was streamlining the process to accept out of province people who've been trained in Canada immediately to get them working.
Lastly, Rhea went over the BC NDP's plan for small businesses in the province, drawing from her own experience as someone who comes from a family that owns a small business in the community.
Ultimately, like, there are gaps, you know, that, like, there are things we can control as families, like what we're buying in terms of products, how we're keeping things fresh, what type of refrigeration practices you have, in our case, within food services. But then there's things that are out of our control. And, you know, those are things like global inflation, high interest rates, right? So some of the things that that the BC NDP is doing is that there's an employer health tax that small business owners have to pay. They have basically removed it, so 90% of employers actually don't have to pay it anymore. It's really ones that have over, like, 100 workers in their job site. So that's like the Amazons, the Walmarts, you know, that kind of thing, which is where it really should be, because families are relying on those small businesses, just like my parents did, to be able to put us through school, put clothes on our back, keep a roof over our heads, you know, and overhead really matters. And so freezing hydro rates is really important, because that gives people a sense, you know, people who run small businesses have to budget out what each year looks, and they'll often take a look at what their quarterly reports are, right? Like, what did they make from, you know, January to March or April or whatever. This allows them to kind of prepare. But we're also cutting red tape, and so that's in the platform for BC restaurants, wineries, breweries, and distilleries. And part of it is to modernize liquor laws and licensing. And that would reduce the administrative burden on lower-risk establishments, allowing government to focus on those that might pose a higher risk. The other piece of news that's super exciting, that even the Burnaby Board of Trade announced that they were excited about, is the film, the BC Film Tax Credit increase. It's a rebate increase. And essentially, it's moved up from, I can't remember what it was at, it was in the 20s in terms of percent, but it's up to 36% now.
This panel event was held just 12 days before the BC provincial election, where Rhea Arora will be up against Simon Chandler, the MLA candidate for the Conservative Party, and Tara Shishdarian, the MLA candidate for the BC Green Party.
Katie, you want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there.
And that was our journalist, Danny, that we just heard as he attended a NDP panel talking about some key policies that the NDP will put in if re-elected. Now, I want to talk a bit for probably around the next 20 minutes to you guys about the TV debate that happened on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. We saw the three main party leaders go head-to-head for the first and only time on our screens. So that was the BC NDP leader David Eby, the Conservative leader John Rustad, and the Greens leader Sonia Firstenau. And it was moderated by the president of the Angus Reid Institute, Shachi Curie. And there were definitely a lot of topics that were covered in this hour and a half debate. We saw them go head to head on leadership, housing affordability, healthcare, the opioid crisis and public safety, Indigenous rights and land use, and what their envision is for the future of BC. So for the highlights that I took and that I've been seeing a lot of people online take from the debate was that a lot of time, and too much time for some people, was spent on Eby and Rustad just firing shots at each other, and little time spent on promoting their own policies and what they would do if they were elected. One major issue that was seen for a lot of people was that there was a focus on past mistakes rather than what are they going to do now and what are they going to do for the future of British Columbia. So we saw Eby get heavily criticized for the NDP's past 7 years in power and what they had to show for it. And you also had the vice versa of Eby heavily criticizing Rustad on things that happened in his former BC Liberal government from 2 decades ago. So with that being sort of an overview of the tone of the debate, I read a lot about people kind of saying that Firstenau quote unquote won the debate, as she was the only candidate to speak maturely, clearly, and concisely on what her party would do if elected, rather than focusing on firing shots and criticizing oppositional parties, which is what people have said Eby and Rustad were focusing too much on doing. Another takeaway from the debate that I saw a lot of online was that Rustad focused more on speaking on the problems of the province rather than the solutions that he will offer. And this was, I'd say, pulled apart a bit in the debate as well from Eby, who heavily went in on the fact that Rustad is the only party leader that has not presented a costed platform and has failed to explain clearly how his party will achieve what they want to achieve. So he was seen in the debate to just focus more on talking about the issues that BC is facing and that he wants to put a stop to these issues, but very little detail was given as to how he's going to do that. Another probably very similar kind of line that was seen from the debate was EB used the debate as a platform to kind of really go in on the Conservative leader, painting him as a conspiracy theorist who's going to cut government programs and provide tax cuts to the rich and powerful. He also spoke quite a bit on the fact that the promises Rustad has given he cannot actually fulfill as they are under federal jurisdiction. So one very key one was the BC Conservative Party has said that they will get rid of the carbon tax, the gas tax. And EB says that he will get rid of the carbon tax, but only if it is no longer a requirement federally. And this is because they actually can't get rid of the carbon tax without the federal government changing it. So Rustad saying that if he's elected, he will get rid of the carbon tax isn't technically true, as he will need federal jurisdiction on that. There was also First Now going against both parties, saying that they're both actually aligned on privatizing the healthcare system and subsidizing the fossil fuel industry. She argued that both parties were either offering more of the same or a return to the past, rather than looking into new solutions to enact real change for the future. And she heavily went in on the fact that the NDP and the Conservatives do not mention taxing the wealth on their platforms at all, unlike the Greens, which is her party, speaking on making tax cuts more proportionally fair. So to go in a bit on what was, I guess, an overview of what was said for each topic, the debate was formatted in a way that there were questions directed to specific party leaders and then an open debate format where they could debate against one another. And it was kept quite concise and time managed. So they started off with kind of opening statements on the topic of leadership. And Shachi asked them how they each distinguished themselves from each other to target the undecided voter. And I thought it was quite interesting, the responses that they came up with. So they also had no idea what the questions were before going into this debate, which was said at the start. But First Now said that she wanted to focus on a future that BC could have, focus on recognizing the need for a plan for the future and that we need politicians who move beyond the slogans. Rustad focused more on saying we needed a common sense plan that will be able to deliver and a plan that will make people proud to be British Columbians. And EB said that there are huge challenges in the province, but they are not unique to the province. And we are starting to turn corners on some of these issues. In regard to the healthcare, he said that he connected 250,000 people to a family doctor in the past year and are expected to have another 160,000 people in the next 6 months. So that's kind of what opened up the debate on how they distinguish themselves from each other. We're seeing First Now heavily going for the future BC could have and focusing towards the future. Rustad being more direct in that he was looking for a common sense plan, a plan that is feasible and will work. And EB focusing on the fact that the challenges are not subject to just the province. It's not issues that only the province is facing, but is across the country. And after that, it went into an open debate format with Rustad opening, speaking on youth. Throughout the debate, he did have a heavy focus on youth, with the statistic that 1 in 2 youth want to leave BC. And he wants to change that. He wants to make